Pilate is having a very bad day. It's the Passover in Jerusalem, and the town is full of unrest and tension in the air. Pilate is the governor of Judea, and it is his job to keep peace in the city, and he knows it's going to be a difficult day. And right at the very first thing in the day, the Jewish leaders come to Pilate with some kind of a country prophet named Jesus, and they want to give him the death penalty. And Pilate asks them, "What charges do you bring against this man?" For Pilate, the Jewish people are a troublesome lot. They're always having religious disputes among themselves. There's all kinds of conflict going on, and he'd just rather be done with the whole thing. But now he has to deal with this problem. So they say sort of vague answers. He's a criminal. He's claimed to be a king. So Pilate is going to have to deal with him, and he goes out to talk to him. And he says, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Sort of trying to bait him, trying to make him incriminate himself so he'll have something to go with. But Jesus just says, "Do you really want to know, or are you just doing this for a show?" And Pilate says, "I'm not a Jew. It was your own people who brought you here." Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world." And Pilate says, "So you are a king." And Jesus says, "You say so, but my only concern is to be telling the truth. That's what I came here for, is to tell the truth." And Pilate, in the most cynical of lines ever in literature, says, "What is truth?" But in this little exchange between Pilate and Jesus, Pilate has recognized that Jesus has more spiritual and personal power than he does himself. He has recognized that Jesus has more of the truth than he does himself. And he's realized that Jesus has more personal authority than he, the governor of Judea, does. So he tries to get him released. He goes out to the crowd and he tries to make a deal. They'll release him instead of Barabbas, but they won't go for it. And they say, "Crucify him, crucify him." So Pilate hands him over to be crucified. But just to sort of make his point and provoke the people, Pilate orders a sign to be nailed to the cross over Jesus' head that says, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." The people don't like it. They wanted to say, "He said he was the King of the Jews." But Pilate said, "What I have written, I have written." And he let it stand with that ironic sign up there. Pilate knew that he was a king. Jesus' death on the cross is a great mystery. Great and profound mystery that people for centuries have pondered and worked to understand. His death on the cross has exerted a powerful influence on humanity for the last 2,000 years. And it has been understood at many levels. One level, he died as a perfect offering to take away the sin of the world. And he died as an innocent victim to end all victimhood. He died to open the way to heaven for believers. He died because he taught a religious and political doctrine that the powers had to put down. He died because of his great love for the downtrodden and the dispossessed. All of those meanings are part of Jesus' death on a cross. And many more. It is a great and profound mystery. In the Gospel of John, the crucifixion is the high point of Jesus' life. It is the glory of Jesus when he's hanging on the cross. I think that's because Jesus' death is the culmination of his life and it's the consequence of his life. All through his ministry, Jesus taught and lived out God's love and forgiveness and reconciliation. And what he was doing on the cross was completely consistent with all his life and all his ministry. He was continuing to live out and to show God's love and forgiveness and reconciliation there on the cross. So the message of the cross is that God's love wins. Despite all the powers of evil and death, when it's all said and done, God's love wins. There's something very personal about the Passion story, this story of Jesus' suffering and death. The way the Gospels tell it, we are placed right there with Jesus. We walk with Jesus through the last hours and minutes of his life. And so we can't help but be personally drawn in and affected. We are with Jesus when he says goodbye to the disciples at the Last Supper. We're with him in the garden when he's betrayed by Judas and dragged away by the soldiers. We're with him when he's questioned by the priests and when he sees Peter deny him. We're with him when he's questioned by Pilate, when he's draped in a robe and a crown of thorns. We're with him through all this and we empathize with him. We're with him as he's taken out to Golgotha and he has to carry his cross. We're with him there as he's nailed to the cross and lifted up and as he gives his mother to the beloved disciple to be taken care of. We're with him as he thirsts and as he says his last words, "It is finished," and gives his spirit up. And we're there even when Joseph of Arimathea comes and takes down the limp body. It's important for us to spend this time with Jesus in his last hours because then we understand more of the meaning of his death. In a little while, we'll have a little time for the adoration of the cross. We'll bring the cross in and we'll have some time to just ponder the meaning of the cross, to think of what Jesus went through for us, his great love for us that he shows us on the cross, his love that he has poured out for all humankind and for each one of us personally. And so we'll have a little time. We have candles, if you'd like to take a candle and put it at the foot of the cross and say a prayer, you can do that. This is our time to be with Christ and the end of his life. When we look on the cross, we meditate on Jesus' great love for us that shines through the centuries directly to us. Amen.